Have your weekend breakfast
with Refilwe and Mbakanyane on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
9:37 on the Sunday edition of Weekend Breakfast, the final 23 minutes of the show, and we spend it talking audio, music, sounds, voice with someone who is leading in her field. Tekla Sholfi is editor and founder of Tex and the City, and she's going to be helping us unpack exactly what it takes, just what it takes to have a number one charting podcast on Apple, and just review some of the songs making waves in the streaming charts, right? So that's how we thread that needle and make that connection. But Tekla basically is talking about, you know, her own her experience in various aspects of the South African music industry as well, and how she's managed to build a number one charting podcast and just be part of that music and entertainment conversation, be a thought leader, be, you know that person in the group who's an early adopter, who finds those gems and then holds them up to, you know, holds them up to the light for everyone in the group. And she's like, guys, you got to listen to this. You got to hear that, right? There's a skill to all of this. Let's unpack the world of audio and sound and music and melody and creating connections. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast, Tekla. Thank you so much for making the time.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Tekla, you're one of the Mail and Guardian's top 200 young South Africans. You got that title in 2015. Same year, you were House and Leisure's Rising Stars. Your work in music has seen you at Rolling Stone and your LMG. Tell me about your love for music or your interest in music and the arts and culture. Basically, what is it that you're seeking in the work that you do?
I think my passion for music came from a very early age, where my parents exposed me to different genres, and I grew up in a very musical household. But when I was at UCT, that was really when I developed my website, but also when I discovered that I was really good at writing, and if I could merge the two passions, so that my passion for music and my passion for writing together, that essentially would be a dream career for me. And I looked for various publications or websites that offered internships in the arts and in music, and sure, there were very few. So I decided to start my own, and that's how Tex and the City was born. And over the years, it's grown from being a small blog spot to being a fully-fledged website that offers several media services in the industry. So I'm very proud of what I've grown, although it didn't really take me. But it wasn't like an overnight sort of success.
Yeah.
It's taken me about 12, 13 years. So I really think that I needed to have a passion first and foremost for what I was doing, and that's pretty much been the basis of why Tex and the City is still around after all of these years.
Yeah. And, you know, just talk about that exactly. Tex and the City, music news in South Africa, the art of writing about music, the art of, critiquing and profiling the work of, you know, people that you could quite easily, that you will probably bump into when you, you know, pop out for a cup of coffee, you know, on any given day. It's a very different dynamic to, you know, us sitting here and going, oh, you know, Beyonce's latest album isn't that great. You know, she didn't try so hard this time around, versus writing about people that you know or you will see and who know you.
Exactly. That's a very interesting point that you bring up, especially when you write a piece that isn't necessarily flattering and then you bump into them and, you know, they want to know why. So I tell all of my writers that write for Tex and the City, because we've grown to be quite a big team of about 15 people over the last few years. I tell them, when you do write about something and you don't necessarily like it, you have to back that up with facts, because chances are you're going to bump into X, Y musician down the road.
So sure.
It's probably good to have your ducks in a row. But also, because our music industry is so small, we're kind of like a little bit of a family. So with Tex Talks, when we started the podcast, I could pick up the phone and phone Trezor and say, I really want to have you on season one. What do you think? And he said, of course, you know, definitely 100%. Or, you know, I have the luxury of being able to email Zolani because I've worked with her over the years on various different projects and go, please, I really want you to be a part of this. I think it would be great to kick off the podcast with you as being featured in episode one.
Sure.
And her going, definitely, you know, 100%. So I think that there are a lot of positives to having our industry be a small connected network.
Absolutely. And of course, the difference between critiquing and criticizing, we know that quite often, you know, when people establish a blog or try to clear some space for themselves, you know, to have a voice on the cultural landscape, sometimes they fall into, you know, the sort of takedown aspect of covering, you know, music or covering culture and current affairs. I don't even think it's a fine line. The skill of critiquing versus criticizing, you know, we all know that, you know, that saying, those that can't teach, you know, or those that can't critique or review. But that's not necessarily the case. It is a skill, and done well, you gain an appreciative audience, number one, but you educate your audiences, don't you?
Definitely. And I think, you know, the landscape of South African media has changed so much over the last 10 years, especially the way that people consume media. And articles are getting smaller or shorter and shorter. And headlines are more clickbait than anything else. So you see publications veer towards sensationalism more than anything else. And I think that that's where our arts industry has really suffered, in terms of, you know, publications are going more for the sensationalism and the hits than they are really looking at breaking down or profiling an artist and really getting into the nitty-gritty of why they are who they are. And I think that this shift now from long-form writing, for example, that I used to do at Rolling Stone,
sure,
now to podcasting, you can really get into the background of an artist, where they've come from, what makes them tick in a 45-minute to an hour podcast, much more so than you can with a long-form piece that people are not really reading now.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, audio is just, you know, an on-demand audio is just so incredibly exciting, because you have such an amazing opportunity to do so much. Yes, you've honed the skills of the skill of writing about and unpacking, you know, music through through writing. But then, of course, you know, how do you beat audio when you can play the song as well and break it down? I mean, one of my favorite international podcasts is Switched on Pop. Two musicologists, yes, who, you know, hang out and just break down music. I'm not at all even mildly musical, so they do so in such a relatable and easy way. And you in text talks, you also engage in the industry in a way that demystifies it, lays it bare, but also, you know, uplifts the form and the work, and just gives us provides an aperture into that world. Tell me what most excites you about, you know, podcasting and talking music as opposed to writing music.
Well, I think that my strength particularly lies in sitting opposite a person and talking to them and really getting to engage with them. That's where I do some of my best work. So season one of Text Talks, we recorded before COVID, before the lockdowns. And I recorded in studio with my six guests. And then COVID hit. And we weren't sure how we were going to progress in terms of season two, season three, season four, in terms of recording remotely. And somehow it's managed to translate, like my interview style has managed to translate across seasons. You know, we've used this program called Zencaster, which is really great.
It's your friend.
And it 100% is my friend.
And very quickly, tell us, for those that, you know, aren't in the audio world or in broadcasting, Zencaster allows you to do what?
Zencaster allows an unlimited number of people to be on the call, and no matter where you are in the world, it will record the audio, and it also records it separately, which is great for editing purposes.
Of course.
And they've just introduced a video element to it as well, which is fantastic. So I don't need to WhatsApp call people so I can see them.
Oh my goodness, the things that technology has allowed us to do. But of course, you know, this part of the show is called the Music Corner, and it is all about listening to some music, enjoying some music. And you've chosen two songs for us to listen to today. I'm going to start with Scorpion King's featuring Trezor, and the song is called Funu. Tell me why you chose this song.
I just think that DJ Maphorisa and Kabza De Small have completely revolutionized the industry in terms of being the kings of Amapiano. Mm-hmm. And Trezor, I mean, I spoke about him earlier. I absolutely and utterly adore him. I think that he is going to be an artist that's going to go really far. And the way that he talks about where he wants to be in 5 years, mm-hmm. you really believe him. I mean, when I spoke to him on the podcast, he said, the next time we're going to be doing this, it's going to be in my beach house in Malibu. And I was like, definitely. That's exactly where we're going to be. And so he's teamed up with these two powerhouse producers and DJs, and they just released an album last week, Friday, and this is the debut single from it. And it also comes with a really great, beautiful, vibrant, colorful music video, which I would urge everybody to go and check out. So this is I chose it because I think that it best represents what the three of them are trying to do collectively on this album.
Yeah.
But also I think it represents a new wave in terms of what's happening in the industry, with like nothing is off limits in terms of genres and artists collaborating with each other.
So, you know, what's interesting, Tekla, is first of all, Kabza and Maphorisa are insanely prolific. So that's the mm-hmm. first thing. You want that drive and the creativity, and you just want to understand how they do it. But this specific song that you've chosen, Funu, is for me, and let me know if you agree, such a pared down. I mean, the Yenos, Amapiano can be, it is what it is, right? It's high danceability, high energy, but this has got such a sort of more pared down feel and sound. Is that something that appealed to you, and is that what makes it stick out? I mean, could you ever describe an Amapiano song as pared down?
I think that you hit the nail on the head here. Like, Amapiano at the best of times can be quite hard-hitting in your face and abrasive, for want of a better word,
sure.
you know? But the way that Trezor and his vocals complement this song, I think give it a completely different dynamic. And I think that if he wasn't on the song, if it was anybody else, I don't necessarily think it might not have translated in the same way.
All right, let's take a listen to it. Scorpion Kings featuring Trezor, and the name of the song is Funu. And that, my friends, is how you do Amapiano on a Sunday morning. That's a song called Funu by the Scorpion Kings featuring Trezor, and the choice of my music corner guest this morning, editor and founder of Tex and the City. Her name is Tekla Sholfi, if you've just tuned in. Tekla, what an amazing song. So beautiful. And, you know, already just evocative of just the heritage and the work and the sounds of a Salif Keita, for instance. That's exactly where my mind went to, or that's exactly where my mind goes to every time I hear it.
100%. And if you're not awake already, you're definitely awake now.
Absolutely. Now, Tekla, your second song is Silk Sonic, Leave the Door Open. And I think a cool sort of 1970s soul sound that we weren't expecting from Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak. Why did you choose this song?
I absolutely and utterly adore the song, and I cannot wait for their debut album to come out. So, yeah. for people who don't know, Anderson .Paak, multi-instrumentalist and incredible vocalist,
so
has
talented.
Teamed up with Bruno Mars, who we all know, you know, from mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of, you know, they're doing this, like you said, this vintage 70s throwback, but to everything, to their styling and their sound. And I love how they're incorporating, you know, they're looking at all the different elements of the 70s and they're incorporating that into their aesthetic, which I think is very smart.
Mm.
And this song is very sexy, like a little bit tongue-in-cheek.
Sure.
And I think that it's given, like, Anderson .Paak has given Bruno Mars a little bit of street cred. Because he was this sort of pop prince, you know, very mainstream, very poppy. And yeah. Here comes Anderson .Paak, and all of a sudden, like, wow, is Bruno Mars really that cool?
Yeah, yeah. But it's all, I think it's also, and I'm happy for Anderson .Paak, because it's kind of like the leg up that he needed, because nobody disputes how talented he is, right? And just as you said, he's a multi, he plays so many instruments, he raps, he sings, he does so much. But you want the underdog to just have a bite at that fame apple at some point, you know, just whether it's money or recognition, you just want that for Anderson .Paak somehow.
100%. And when he came to South Africa 3 years ago, I think it's probably one of my top five performances that I've ever seen. The way that he switched in between from going behind the drum kit to picking up a guitar to singing it, and the way that he interacted with his band, it was seamless. To see, like you said, to see him get the recognition that he so obviously deserves, it's just great.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what a way to differentiate yourself in a world of, you know, that loop-based music. I'm going to play you out with the song Leave the Door Open by Silk Sonic, Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak. But, you know, 100,000 downloads and or streams from your podcast. What is the future for you of Tex and the City? Very quickly.
Well, hopefully 100 million streams.
And Tex Talks, yeah?
So we are in the process of recording season 5, which is very exciting. A really nice mix of international artists that we're interviewing.
Girl.
And local artists. So it's very excited. But also, one of the things that I wanted to do, that I set out to do when I started Tex Talks, was to not pigeonhole myself into just interviewing one specific artist. I wanted to be able to go from Casper Nyovest and Cuesta to the Lumineers and Passenger.
Yeah.
And I feel like season 5 is exemplary of what I've set out to do. So I'm very, very excited to launch it.
Well, Tekla, you're well on your way. Thank you so much for the passion and energy that you bring to music, to the arts, and making the time this morning. It's been an absolute pleasure hanging out with you. You can check her out on Tex in the City or Tex Talks.